Welcome to Torah Talk, a program that challenges 2,000 years of misunderstanding and neglect of the Torah, God's law. In this show, we will be threshing ideologies by examining these scriptures in their Hebraic contexts. Our goal is to separate the wheat from the chaff, the truth from misconception. This program is sponsored by The Harvest, a Messianic Charismatic congregation in Thornton, Colorado.
Shalom, lovers of the Torah, and thank you for choosing to listen to Torah Talk. We have a great podcast for you today. We'll be midrashing on the great apostasy, that which is known as the great falling away. What is this great falling away that everyone's talking about, everyone's anticipating, the futurists are saying is still in our future? What is it? What does it mean to fall away to begin with? And how does that characterize the last days? Well, before we get started, I'd like to welcome into the studio today with me my co-host, Pastor Russ. We're sitting here in the studio. We've been midrashing this morning on this topic. It's a great topic. And yet it's like, I think, 3 degrees out. 3 degrees out in Colorado. A little bit of snow on the ground. Wind chill factor drops that considerably. So we're up here in a warm, cozy studio and drinking some kosher raspberry tea, and it's just great. But Pastor Russ, how are you doing? What do you think of the topic today? And let's just go ahead and get the show rocking and rolling.
Well, I'm doing great. It is nice to be in a nice warm place, and this tea is fantastic. The topic is it's a tough one. A lot of things that we talk about are encouraging and uplifting, and give us a great perspective on things. And this is, it's got two sides to it. Falling away is, it doesn't sound like a good thing. And I know the word speaks of it. And yet to talk about it is good so that it doesn't happen to us as individuals. We don't want that to happen. So,
and I think we both agree, and we've talked about it. The great falling away is not about the lost. It's not about those that don't have a covenant with God.
Right.
You can't fall away from something you're not a part of.
Right.
And so the context of the great falling away is about the believers.
Right, the body of Messiah.
It is. It's about the people of God. And so this actually becomes, in some ways, kind of a fearful topic, because we're talking about the potential for believers to fall away. And I don't care how you slice that. It's not a good thing.
Right.
It's not a good thing. And so we've been talking about that this morning. Also, just want to make a note, BJ is not with us. She usually comes and midrashes with us and is just a great mind, a great soul. She got struck with the flu that's been going everywhere in the nation right now. And it's a pretty nasty bug this year. They said it's one of the nastiest bugs that they've seen for a couple decades. And so, of course, they're just out there saying, everyone run and get some of that and shoot it straight into your vein. Bypass all of the design of God for your immune system and shoot it straight into the blood. We think we have a better idea, and that is cry out to God. Ask God to intervene. Yes. Ask God to be your healer.
Yes.
Eat right. Live right. And you know what? This nasty bug doesn't really do much of anything in that context. Doctors are great, but the approach to solving this dilemma through vaccinations has all of the downfalls that you can imagine that are tied into it. That's a different subject matter, by the way. But just want to encourage you, if you're struggling with the flu this season, cry out to God, get some good rest, get your nutrition up, get your antioxidants, and just trust in the design of God for your health and your happiness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Great. So we'll miss BJ, but she'll be back in our next show. And may she be strengthened today. In fact, we got a text from her this morning that she's doing much better today.
Praise
we
God.
Prayed for her and just a tremendous rebound already. So thank you, God, for your healing power. Hallelujah. Great. Well, let's jump into this. Keep in mind that our show is a midrash and is not to be construed as a doctrinal statement or a theological treatise on the subject. We are simply wrestling with the passages to better inform you, our audience, as well as informing ourselves. That's right. We're learning too. We're all in this together. As a result, we reserve the right to change our minds on our ideas as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Messiah. So I'm going to jump in too. And just, I want to tell you, for the last 3 days, this thing tried to get on me, this flu bug, you know, and I've been fighting it by faith and just resting and getting what I need to, you know, get over this. And I'm just so thankful that it never really took hold in my soul, and I'm doing much better. So, but I'm still a little bit squawky or squeaky in my voice, but that's all that's basically left of this thing. So hallelujah, I'm doing much better. Okay, let's jump into the Torah, Deuteronomy chapter 13. This is related to the laws of idolatry, by the way. It comes on the heels of the laws of idolatry, which deal with the parameters and prerequisites of worshiping the living God on his terms. It says, if a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes true concerning which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods whom you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. Let's just stop there and midrash a little bit. A prophet, a dreamer of dreams, a person who is truly and profoundly spiritual, can move in the power of signs and wonders, you know, comes and arises in your midst. And then along with that, after he does all this stuff, counsels you, seduces you to serve other gods. You know, what do you do? You know, what do you do with that? Mm-hmm. We talked about this earlier, but how do we understand signs and wonders? How do we judge them? You know, how do we use them? What do they mean? These are big issues. Mm-hmm. And for the writer of the book of Deuteronomy, for Moses, warning his people, he says, you know, if a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign and wonder, that tells us that there's going to be many who come among us and arise among us and do signs and wonders. And he's saying, you know what? If they go along and say, you don't have to serve God alone, but you can also serve other gods, that's a problem. Verse 3, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. What do you think about that?
You know, I can just tell you just what I get out of that. I think I used to be in a place where I would read a scripture like that and go, wow, that's scary. I haven't seen that in my lifetime. You know, I've never seen someone do a sign or a wonder or a miracle and then turn around and say, now I want you to bow down and worship Baal.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know.
Kundalini or right. Vishnu or Buddha.
Yeah. Right. And there probably are those. But, you know, I think we as believers in mainstream Christianity or, you know, people in the, let's just call us Protestants, Christians, whatever. I don't mean us, but
sure.
The body of Messiah.
You know,
we're talking about the body of Messiah. We in the body of Messiah, I don't think we ever see that. And I think we read the scripture and go, whoo, praise God, that isn't happening today.
Yeah. And you know, Pastor Russ, you're right. Mm-hmm. You know, I've never seen that either. I've seen a lot of people come along and do signs and wonders. I've even experienced signs and wonders in my own life. Mm-hmm. I've even been used of God to do some signs and wonders. Not many. But I've had some experience of interfacing with the supernatural spirit of the living God, and I've seen others move in great power and signs and wonders. And we've seen people do that are not from God as well. You know, 1-800 call a psychic, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, when you get into Hollywood, of course, you can have some pretty savvy false prophets who will channel at about $2,000 a word, a channeling session. And, you know, some of this stuff is pretty, pretty real. People mm-hmm. won't pay that kind of money. Unless they're doing something supernatural that's truly supernatural, you know. So, but you're right. I've not seen anyone in the body of Messiah. I've not known of anyone that has come in and said, done some powerful signs and wonders and said, you know what, let's go and worship whoever he's the latest manifestation of God on earth or whatever.
Right.
I have not seen that. So in that sense, I agree with you.
Yeah. So when I read that, you know, I know it just initially in my, you know, initial walk in Messiah, I would read a scripture like that and think, "Woo, praise God, you know, that's not happening." And as I grow in my understanding of the word, you know, I think this is actually happening here today in America?
You know, one example, maybe in the past, you know, and we can talk about today as well, but you do have the example of like the Joseph Smith and the Mormon Church, and I'm not really sure if this would qualify, but you have a person that's involved in pretty miraculous things going on, signs and wonders, the golden plates, the angelic visitations, and in the end, they basically repackage Yeshua the Messiah in a way that is not Torah faithful, mm-hmm. and they tell people they're to worship him. Mm-hmm. And so I think that may be an example in Christianity, for instance. That sure. may be an example in Christianity mm-hmm. of this account. Mm-hmm. But I think it's interesting, you know, that God would send that person.
Right.
That in the end, it's God who sent, God who allowed the signs and wonders to take place. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, how does that impact your view of God? That God would send a deceiving spirit, so to speak.
Obviously, I'm not gonna question God. I know that what He does is sovereign and perfect and right and holy. He's just. He's pure. But it does catch you off guard, and it makes you realize, gosh, I better be, you know, really in tune with the Lord, with what He's doing and what His Word says.
Yeah.
Because He's not gonna go outside of His Word. But I really need to know the Lord, you know, intimately.
Yes, and that brings us to that point in our Midrash. For the Lord your God is testing you. The reason we do that is He's going to test us. Mm-hmm. To what? It says test you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. You know, it's interesting. God's claim on our lives is 100%. The command is to love God with all of your heart and with all of your soul.
Right.
Not some of your heart and some of your
right.
soul.
Right.
All or nothing.
Right.
It's all or nothing. And it's a huge claim. And He has every right to lay that claim on us.
Yep.
And so He tests us in that. You know, it's interesting, too. The test isn't for Him. He knows the end from the beginning. The test is really for us. Mm-hmm. So we can figure out where we're at in our relationship with Him and grow in a relationship to that. So mm-hmm. so He sends the false prophets. Amazing. Yeah. Verse 4, you shall follow. Now, this is the shift. This is the shift that we're going to get into that I think relates to your question, that you know what? This is happening today. Mm-hmm. You shall follow the Lord your God. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear Him, and you shall keep His commandments. You shall keep His commandments. Now, I know that's the forbidden word in the body of Messiah today, the C word, commandments. You know, it's like, oh, you better not talk about that. You know, that's legalism. You know, people have all kinds of ways to shut that thing down right away. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting. It says, you shall follow the Lord your God, and you shall keep His commandments, listen to His voice, serve Him, and cling to Him. So now we're going to shift gears from following other gods to this issue of following the Lord. And to follow the Lord means to walk after Him in His ways, which are detailed in the commandments. Mm-hmm. So this is where we shift gears. Verse 5, but that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has counseled rebellion against the Lord, who brought you out from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery to seduce you from the way. There's part two of this passage that relates to today. Mm-hmm. The first part is, if he does all these signs and wonders and then tries to lead you to follow other gods, know that that's a false prophet and you're being tested. Mm-hmm. The second part of this is, if he does signs and wonders and in the end seduces you from the way, which is a reference to the ancient paths mm-hmm. or the Torah. The way of life, the commandments of God, which is the way of life for the redeemed. If he seduces you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk, so you shall purge the evil from among you. Mm-hmm. So Pastor Russ, in looking at this passage, if someone comes along and does signs and wonders, bona fide miracles, bona fide signs and wonders, but in the end says, you're free from the law. The law has been done away with. You have liberty mm-hmm. from the law. to just live your life the way you want to live your life. Mm-hmm. Is that person a false prophet?
Based on my understanding now, I would absolutely have to say yes. You know, you go with this, with verse 3, it continues, it says, "For the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength." And we all know, I think we all know as believers, if you love me, keep my commandments. I think we'll all agree on that. Gosh, what are the commandments? I think we know the first 10, for example.
If we could just start with the 10. Isn't that amazing?
We all seem to trip on number 4. We all fall down, and we can't come into agreement that now all of a sudden are the 10.
I know the 4th. No, I do.
Okay.
I know the 4th. Let me recite it. Right. Okay? I learned this in Sunday school. Okay. I learned this in catechism. Okay? Remember the Sabbath day to change it to Sunday. That's the 4th commandment. You know,
I think there's people that have that on their wall on a plaque. So.
Yeah. You know, the interesting thing is the Sabbath is the sign of the covenant. Mm-hmm. And when the covenant is cast in the metaphor of a marriage, when we look at Sinai and it's described by the prophets in terms of a betrothal and a marriage, then the metaphor for the 4th commandment turns into the wedding ring. Mm-hmm. So if this is described in the metaphor of a marriage between God and his people, the Sabbath being the sign of the covenant becomes commensurate in terms of symbolic value with a wedding ring.
Right.
And so when we take and neglect the Sabbath or reject the Sabbath, it's tantamount to a spouse taking off the wedding ring, mm-hmm, and throwing it to the ground.
Sure.
It's just like no light thing. It's not a light thing at all. Mm-hmm. In fact, the rejection of the Sabbath is a capital offense. It's a felon.
Right.
It's a felony, and it's a capital offense. And so for Christians to say, oh, you know, it doesn't matter what day you worship on. Just, you know, remember a Sabbath, not the Sabbath, but everyone should take a Sabbath for themselves, you know, mm-hmm, just so happens to always be Sunday, the day of the sun. Come on, you know, do I get dumb written across my forehead, you know? And so it's like, you know what, come on, you know, wake up. You know, these are issues. And like you've pointed out in Deuteronomy chapter 3 and 4, or Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 3 and 4, the whole context is keeping his commandments, mm-hmm, staying faithful to the covenant, right, walking in our Father's way. And that's what you're being tested on. The test is, yes, will you walk in the commandments? Mm-hmm. Even if someone comes along and does signs and wonders and then says, oh, don't worry about the commandments. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about the Torah. Jesus set you free from it. Mm-hmm. You're free from the law. You know, keep Sunday, Christmas, Easter, do your own thing, you know, worship God in your own terms. It's okay because you're free in Jesus. Mm-hmm. Based on Deuteronomy, that particular Jesus, which is not the Jesus, by the way, of the apostolic scriptures, mm-hmm, that repackaged Jesus is a false Jesus. It's not even a true Jesus. You know, if Paul says if someone comes along preaching another Jesus, yeah, well, this is the another Jesus he was referring to. Mm-hmm. It's a test, mm-hmm, you know, and you need to reject that particular version and repackaging of Jesus. You need to come back and understand who the Messiah is and embrace his ways. But yeah, this whole issue is God's going to test us over and over and over to see whether or not we love him. Mm-hmm. And the commandments are the field in which the test arrives. Are the field in which we live our lives is in fact the commandments of God. Mm-hmm. And it is the test of love. If you love me, you'll keep, yes, my commandments. Yep, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. But if people come along and do signs and wonders and then try to seduce you from the way, you're to brand them as false prophets. Don't, mm-hmm, listen to them, mm-hmm, you know? And yet the masses listen because they're intrigued by the sign and the wonder. Mm-hmm. And they do not understand that the Word of God, the written Word of God, the foundational scriptures, the Torah, the written law of Moses, is the very bedrock of objectivity in which you are to view all signs and wonders, mm-hmm, judge all signs and wonders, yep, discern all. Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, you say, well, how does that relate to the great falling away? Well, why do you think he sent the false prophet? He's going to test us. And for those who actually love him and are vindicated by keeping his commandments, that's the vindication of our love. We know that we love him. How? By keeping his commandments. And the one who does not keep his commandments, in 1 John, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Messiah, says he's a liar, mm-hmm. and the truth is not in him.
Right.
I mean, is this like, you know, I just got to do a little info break here. you know, most ministries would charge for this level of truth, this level of revelation. You know, most websites, they have something that's this substantial, and I'm not just bragging on us. I'm saying it's what the Lord is showing us.
Yeah.
You know, this glory goes to God, of course, but the point is you should get to this part of the show, and then all of a sudden it states, if you'd like to listen to the rest of this podcast, send us $129.95 for the rest of the download, you know, or whatever. And I'm telling you right now, it's free. It's free. We give this out for free to everyone around the globe. We present this as free. Do not mistake this as being, oh, this is not a very good podcast because, you know, it's free. No, let me tell you, it's worth much. It's worth much. But we recognize it comes from God. That's why we make it free.
Freely we have received.
And freely we're going to give. That's right. We're going to get the truth out. And we got a lot of people praying for us. We got a lot of people that give to us anyway. That makes this possible, and we just are so excited about it. But oh, what I would have gave to have a podcast like this growing up in Messiah.
Yeah.
You know, this is just, yeah. I thank God for this podcast. So what does this have to do with the Great Falling Away? Well, let's turn to 2 Thessalonians, and we'll pick up kind of the refinement or greater details of this passage in Deuteronomy 13, how it relates to the end of the age. So let's jump into 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'm going to begin in verse 2. Paul is speaking here. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord, Yeshua the Messiah, and our gathering together with him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit. How would that happen? Well, signs and wonders.
Right.
You know, angelic visitations. I mean, how much do you hear today about, oh, this angel visited me, that angel visited me, this angel said this, that angel said this, you know, and it's all a seduction away from the Torah, mm-hmm. away from the commandments of God. It's a form of Gnosticism that we're seeing again, except in America now. Mm-hmm. It says, or a message or a letter as if from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first. So what precedes the coming of the Lord is the great falling away. This word apostasy means to fall away. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this earlier, but to fall away means you first have to be a part of something to fall away from it.
Right.
So the context is believers. It's the body of Messiah.
Right.
It's the remnant of Israel.
Right.
It's those that are chosen and saved that responded to God's grace that has come through the Messiah. He's saying among that group, there's going to be a great falling away. Now, this is what shocked us. We were so shocked when we talked about this earlier. It's like it's not talking about the world. It's not talking about those that are outside of a relationship with God. They have no covenant with God. They could never fall away because they were never there to begin with.
Correct.
So this is talking about people of faith.
Mm-hmm.
They can fall away.
Mm-hmm.
And God is testing their hearts to see whether or not they're going to stay true to the commandments of God and be faithful to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is really relevant.
Yeah.
If you're listening, it's relevant. If you're a believer in Messiah, this is relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do you think?
Yeah. Well, like you said, we talked about this earlier, and you know, it'd be really convenient to think, well, out of the 7 billion people, there's 2 billion now that are saved, and hallelujah, those 5 billion fell away. No.
And you're talking about 2 billion
being
Catholic Protestants.
Protestants and
1 billion plus Catholics and the rest Protestants.
Sure, yeah. Sure. Exactly, yeah. So, you know, it'd be real convenient to think, well, the falling away is the 5 billion that don't know the Lord, and the 2 billion professing believers are the ones that are in the Lord. But no, this is addressing the body of Messiah. So within that, you know, and I'm just using round numbers, 2 billion, within that, that's where the great falling away. And it's not a little falling away. It's a great falling away.
Yes.
That takes place, the great apostasy.
Yes.
And that's really scary.
Yeah. And they've estimated, too, I think anywhere from like 250,000 Messianic Jews in the body of Messiah, anywhere from 250,000 to 2 million, which is still a bleep. You know, I mean, it's a very small group, but demographically wise, it's a good percentage of Jewish believers as well. But you put that all together, you get approximately 2 billion. And so it's true. We think in those terms. Mm-hmm. But you're right. It's not in 7 billion. It's in the 2 billion that currently exist. Mm-hmm. And that's just assuming it's just one generation of believers that this falling away is about, you know?
Right.
So I think it's interesting, but it certainly gets my attention that this passage is relevant and talks to every believer that, you know what, you could fall away from the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, what would that look like? What would that look like? How could I fall away? Well, it's already outlined in the Torah,
right,
that God sends false prophets to do signs and wonders and miracles with a message that, you know what, you're free from the law. You don't have to walk in these things. Mm-hmm. God loves you. The sign and wonder is the evidence that God loves you and that you're free from that. You don't have to worry about those things. Come into the liberty of Messiah. Mm-hmm. That's a false Christ.
Yeah.
That's a false Christianity. That's a false Messianic Judaism. You know, that's a lawless form of religion and spirituality.
It's loveless. You know, we redefined love in Christianity. Love is just all these squishy things about feelings. And, well, gosh, you know, that's not what Messiah said. If you love me, keep my commandments.
Yes.
You know, so it is. It's all about walking out the word of God. That's what love is. It's, you know, it's not feelings.
That's right. So let's go on. So the day of the Lord is not going to come until the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed. Those two things. There has to be the great falling away and then this consummate lawless person. It's not talking about a person that doesn't have any laws. It's talking about a person who has completely obliterated the law of God as a way of life. Mm-hmm. The Antichrist is going to have a lot of laws, believe me. And there's been many Antichrists that have come along that have been very anti-Semitic and very anti-Torah, which is the very definition of lawlessness. Mm-hmm. And so we're seeing that already. He's also called the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes a seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? And you know now what restrains him, so that in his time he will be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. You know, we keep coming across this concept, lawlessness, that the whole work of the deceiver is to draw you away from the Torah, the law of God. That's what Moses was telling us. That's what Moses was telling the ancients, our ancestors. Mm-hmm. And here Paul's picking up that theme and saying, you know, nothing's changed.
Right.
God is still testing his people. And the whole spirit of the age will be the spirit of anti-Torah, lawlessness, a seduction away from the law of God. First in degrees, you know, but ultimately it is a removing of the Torah as a way of life. Mm-hmm. And I know that futurists, they're all saying, yeah, this is coming. Get ready. It's coming. The apostasy, you know, they're all warning about the great falling away. You know, some have said it's already beginning now, or it's, you know, we're right stepping into it or whatever. It's always in the future, always in the future. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, this is interesting, but let's go on and pick this up. The mystery of lawlessness, and it's a mystery, it's a seduction, mm-hmm. Paul says, is already at work.
Right.
When did Paul write?
2,000 years ago.
Yeah, so much for the futurist.
Yeah, we're just still waiting.
Yeah.
Even though...
it's, you know, maybe this spirit of lawlessness and this whole culmination of the falling away, maybe all of that has already begun 2,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. Which means we've been in it for centuries.
Yeah.
And it might escalate. It might culminate. It might have a consummation. But to think that it hasn't started yet is part of the deception.
Right.
It began all the way back in Paul's day. Mm-hmm. In fact, by the second century, the church was already rejecting the Jewish people and the Torah of Moses as a way of life.
Yeah.
It was rocking and rolling back in the second century. So we've been in it quite a while. It says, then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power, signs, and false wonders. Pastor Russ, I mean, just talk to me about that. Is that just like, that's just shocking when I read that. What is the activity of Satan?
Well, he's the father of lies, is a deceiver. And certainly he has some power.
Yes.
You know, he's obviously, he's able to do false signs and wonders. He's able to appear as an angel of light.
Yes.
So he can certainly do things that deceive. And God himself sends false prophets. So,
yes.
You know, the picture tells me we have to, you know, go in great fear and trepidation when we see signs and wonders, not to be, you know, taken away with that. Yes, they draw our attention, and Yeshua used that too, to draw people to him.
Yes.
But the test is, okay, now I've seen you do signs and wonders. That's great. Now, let me see the words that come out of your mouth. Let me see the fruit of your life. Let me see how you walk in the Word of God, because that's the real test. It's not the signs and wonders. According to this, anyone can do signs and wonders.
Yes, that's right.
The real test is, what is your walk? What is the fruit in your life?
Yes. We should not be afraid of signs and wonders.
Right.
We should not be anti-signs and wonders.
Right.
We've just got to judge signs and wonders via the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the Word of God is the true test. And he says, you'll know them by their fruits.
Right.
So signs and wonders can be very powerful, and they can be from God or from the enemy. How would you know that? Well, you've got to listen to the message that comes on the heels of that.
Mm-hmm.
What is the miracle worker saying as it relates to God and fidelity to the covenant?
Right.
If on the heels of that, he's saying, return to God, repent, embrace his ways. That is a true sign and wonder from
Amen.
God,
Amen.
And that's a true messenger of God.
Mm-hmm.
If he's saying you're free from the law, come into the love of God and experience liberty from the law, you know, that's a false prophet.
Yeah.
That's the test, right?
Yeah.
And so Satan comes and empowers this lawless one to do signs and false wonders. Now listen, and with all deception of wickedness for those who perish. And who are those that are perishing?
Well, those who bought into the signs and wonders, but got deceived in being turned away.
Right. And what group are they in? The group of the lost or the saved?
This is the body of Messiah.
This is the body of Messiah. This is the shocking thing, that there's going to be many who fall away, and because of the deception of wickedness, they're perishing.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. They did not love the truth. There was no love for the truth.
Thy word is truth.
Yes. Like Yeshua said, that's right, in John 17.
Mm-hmm.
Father, sanctify them in thy word. Thy word is truth. In fact, the word truth is also a synonym, functions as a synonym for the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
The Torah is truth.
Sure.
And so we see that over and over and over. But there's no love for the word of God. There's no love for the word, the revelation that came first through the written, the writings of Moses, then the prophets, and then the apostolic scriptures. There's no love for the truth. They just want a spiritual experience. They want spirituality with no parameters. They
right.
care nothing about the laws of God, just the experience of signs and wonders. And God says, you know what? For this reason, I will send, verse 11, for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false. You say, how can God do that? What do you mean, how can he? He's been doing it all along. If you've been reading the Torah, you'd understand this is part of the nature of God. This is what he's always done.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you so shocked? You're shocked because you don't read the Torah.
Right.
Yeah, so you have no framework.
Mm-hmm.
This goes all the way back to Moses. God will send a deluding influence upon those in order that they believe what is false. In other words, if you don't have a heart for the truth, and you have some kind of like love affair with signs and wonders, and you don't care about being deceived, God says, okay, I'll help you. I'll help you be deceived.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
So it's just amazing. Verse 12, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. You know, I know people that have been involved in profound disobedience and into some sin bondages, who have argued over and over and over, well, you know, God understands, I'm under grace, and And when they've been challenged with passages that relate to wickedness and disobedience, you know, they say, well, you know, I speak in tongues, I prophesy, I do miracles, I've even healed the sick. And they use that to justify and excuse their behavior. Mm-hmm. This describes them.
Right.
They did not believe the truth, and they took pleasure in wickedness. They love their freedom from the law, and they bank on doing their signs and wonders as being the very, very safeguard that they're saved and it's okay and God loves them.
Right. And I, you know, I heard someone speak on this. It really, really kind of woke me up. You know, we, and Hollywood attributes to this about what our definition of wickedness is. We kind of have this perception because of all the things that we see that wicked is, you know, fangs and blood and scary and ugly, and we can all identify wickedness. But we're not talking about our definition of wickedness. It's God's definition
yes.
of wickedness.
Yes.
Missing the Shabbat, God is ready to take you out. You know, that is a, like you said, it's a yeah. capital offense. That's wickedness. You know,
yeah. Using three-dimensional objects in your worship of God.
Sure.
1 billion plus are sure. doing that today in the right. in their congregations, you know.
Right.
I mean, you can go down the list. Yes. The amount of adultery that goes on in the body of Messiah and mm-hmm. swept under the carpet. It's just amazing. Mm-hmm. We have entire churches that celebrate same-sex marriage now.
Yeah.
And so wickedness is just rampant everywhere. But you know what? It's okay. God loves us because the evidence is all this spiritual phenomenon.
Right.
So, but they don't understand that. No, that's the test. And many are failing. Many have mm-hmm. fallen away, you know. So, well, you know, we're out of time for this week. And what we're going to do is pick this up and follow up on part two, maybe even a part three. It's just fascinating. So stay tuned. We're going to jump into Matthew chapter 7 as well and look at this in the future. So we'll pick this up in the future. And that concludes our program for this week. And a special thanks to our great King, Yeshua the Messiah, our producer and co-host, Pastor Russ. Thank you so much for all that you do. BJ, she'll be back on with us hopefully in a couple weeks. And a special thanks to our listeners and supporters for making this podcast possible through your prayers and financial giving. You're a part of a tremendous work that's going on around the world. And just keep praying for us. Those that can give, give. And everyone, get this podcast. Let people know about this podcast. Send it out on mass emails. Get it out to everyone. Anyone that's listening that wants to rebroadcast this, rebroadcast it. Do it. Just make sure that you give them our website and broadcast it in whole. Thank you so much. You're welcome to do that. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Tori Teacher Mark, and until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Yeshua the Messiah. Shalom.
Torah Talk has been brought to you by The Harvest, a Messianic Charismatic congregation located in the North Hills Church of God facility at 8891 Pose Boulevard in Thornton, Colorado. Your host has been Pastor Mark McClellan. Join us for Sabbath services at 1 p.m. next Saturday afternoon. For more information, please call us at 303-761-9948 or visit our website at www.graftedin.com. God bless you and shalom.